cool, and I love using some of the natural curly branches to pop in the tree too if you're doing the woodland look.
Right.
Another thing I've done in the past, which people seem to really enjoy, were taking my actually taking down my curtain rods and putting up the birch poles and then hanging my ornaments at varying lengths on the, really cool different.
You know, I saw that in a magazine.
So neat.
It must look beautiful.
And pine cones too.
Unbelievable.
Even taking some of the larger pine cones and tucking.
Do you know what I did recently? And you'll be surprised because I'm not as talented as you, but I will say something I tried. If you turn a pine cone upside down, the upside down part of a pine cone looks like a rose. So I did pine cones from the bottom and made a wreath out of it, and it looks all like roses. It's so beautiful.
I absolutely love that. Yeah. And even the smaller pine cones, you can clip and make look into zinnias and paint them and do a wreath out of them.
Would look like zinnias, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds beautiful. Now, we have about 4 minutes left, Jerry, and I want to talk about your holiday table, your Christmas or Hanukkah table, Christmas Eve or during the night that you have the celebration with the family over. Let's talk about what to put on the table, some ideas for your sideboard, your table, things that you like to do. I love a runner on a holiday table. So maybe if you're celebrating Hanukkah, maybe you get a rich blue runner, and then you get some metallic silver and white balls, and you can do that, and you dress your nice white china with a, and that's a very pretty look. If you have a Christmas table, maybe you do all gold, so you go with sort of a gold look, and you go out and you get some inexpensive charger plates, and you use your regular dishes, but you dress it up with a gold charger plate.
I love your ideas, and I do quite a few of those same things. I love the runner. I have an old farm table. It's huge.
Mm.
It's a pedestal farm table, and I like to see it. So the runner works for me, and I also use a tartan placemats and then gold chargers. And
isn't tartan and gold together so regal?
It's so pretty.
It's so beautiful.
And I do different looks in different rooms. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my more woodsy, farmy look in there.
So for your dining table for Christmas Eve, do you have it at your house Christmas Eve or Christmas
time? I do.
Night? Do you do place cards?
I love place cards.
I love place cards on Christmas. I think they're great.
I do that for Christmas dinner. Mm. Christmas Eve is more of a buffet.
Mm-hmm. When you grew up, I remember as a kid, now I'm 100, but Christmas Eve was more of a religious holiday and not so celebrated. Maybe it was my culture because we're Italian, although a lot of Italians celebrate Christmas Eve very much so. But growing up, I remember Christmas Eve being more of a religious thing. We went to church.
Sure.
We ate light. It wasn't
midnight.
And it wasn't celebratory. It was the next day it was celebratory. But I think now as an adult, I see people celebrating as much or sometimes even more on Christmas Eve than Christmas Day.
Well, in my neighborhood, it's a lovely community. They've been doing, I call it Whoville, because since 1958, they put up a Christmas tree. Everybody gathers Christmas Eve, sings Christmas carols.
Oh, nice.
There's a chair for Santa. He comes and gives out presents to the children in the neighborhood.
On Christmas Eve?
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
Everybody puts their homemade ornament from when they moved in on the tree.
They are the Who's for Whoville.
Yes. It really is special. So
I hate to do this to you, Jerry, because I could talk to you for 3 more hours, but we're at the end of our segment.
Thank
is there anything
so
last
much,
you want to last leave off with our clients about Greensleeves? Again, Greensleeves Village Bakery is right in Flemington, and the address is?
It is 1 Church Street, Unit 31. We're part of Liberty Village, but we're right on the main drag on Church Street. It's a big brick building.
Beautiful.
You see Linus and Charlie Brown outside.
It's a great thing to do with your children when they're on break. Come during the week. You're open during Christmas week. And
we are open this week. Christmas Eve, we close early. We close at 12 o'clock because we want to be home with our family.
Sure. Will you be open the week between Christmas and New Year's?
Yes, we will.
Come out, have a gingerbread, have a delicious cup of coffee, and bring your kids.
We hope that when you come in, you feel good, and we inspire you. It's a wonderful place, and we love our customers, and especially our community. Our community has been so embracing, and we're just happy to be a part of the Flemington
Well, we're happy. We're very much happy to have you a part of it, and all the wonderful things, the works of philanthropy that you do, and all you give. So I want to wish you, Jerry, a wonderful Christmas, and to all my listeners who have been with me for the past 2 years now. I'm very excited. Modern Design next year is really going to be doing some wonderful things. Jerry's going to be back, and we're going to be on video. We're going to show you how to do projects. We're going to bring in more resources than ever. We're going to do a couple of on-location shoots. We have a lot coming ahead, so I wish everybody a wonderful holiday and a happy new year. Thanks for listening to Modern Design, and we'll see you next year. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful holiday season. Bye-bye. Listeners have been with me for the past 2 years now. I'm very excited. Modern Design next year is really going to be doing some wonderful things. Jerry's going to be back, and we're going to be on video. We're going to show you how to do projects. We're going to bring in more resources than ever. We're going to do a couple of on-location shoots. We have a lot coming ahead, so I wish everybody a wonderful holiday and a happy new year. Thanks for listening to Modern Design, and we'll see you next year. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful holiday season. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There's no question the Russians were messing around our election.
As President-elect Donald Trump and those close to him reject the conclusion that Russia was behind the pre-election hacks of political party emails, the top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell says he's convinced of Russia's involvement and more investigation is needed, and he says it will be conducted by the Senate.
We already have a committee established to do this. We don't need to set up a special committee to do what we already have the ability to do. But it is a serious matter, and it will be investigated.
German police still hunting for the man responsible for that deadly truck attack on a Christmas market in Berlin 2 nights ago. An arrest was reportedly made overnight, but the person has since been released. And that's the second time that's happened since the attack. They're now said to be trying to find a Tunisian man said to be in his early to mid-20s. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
President Obama now moving to make large parts of the Arctic and Atlantic Oceans off-limits to all oil and gas drilling. A sweeping executive order involving U.S.-controlled waters in both oceans, but President-elect Donald Trump and the Republican-led Congress are expected to try to then undo Obama's order next year. As what's being called the Trump bump continues on Wall Street overall, the Dow Jones average is still flirting with a record high 20,000 mark. And we get the latest from Mark Mayfield.
This trader is hoping the Dow hits the mark early in today's trading.
They're going to push it on the opening, hit that milestone, and then it's going to be vacation time. No one's really going to trade much the rest of the time.
Wall Street's been nearing a closing high of 20,000 for a week, but yesterday was the closest it's gotten so far. At one point during yesterday's trading session, the Dow came within 13 points of the milestone. It ended the day just over 25 points away from 20,000. It was the 17th record high for the Dow since the U.S. election last month.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
North Carolina lawmakers meeting this morning to decide whether to repeal the state's controversial bathroom law, which requires people to use the restroom that matches their gender at birth, not whichever one they identify with. but it was attacked by LGBT advocates who say it discriminates against transgender people. The claims led to boycotts of the state, which even former proponents of the law now say have indeed hurt the state's economy. Two former Flint City emergency managers are among the four people facing new charges in the Flint, Michigan water crisis. State Attorney General Bill Schuette announcing the charges at a news conference yesterday morning.
People in positions of responsibility who broke the law must be held accountable.
Schuette says the charged officials entered into a contract to use the Flint River as a water source based on false pretenses, and he alleges the officials knew the Flint water treatment plant couldn't produce safe water. Flint water users have been living with that lead-tainted water now for over 2 years, and they still can't consume it without a filter. At yesterday's funeral for beloved NBA sideline reporter Craig Sager, who died last week of cancer, fellow TNT broadcaster Ernie Johnson read a poem remembering his longtime friend.
We say farewell to our friend Sags and make this humble vow. There's no way to gauge the days we have, no way to know how long, but know this, Craig will do our best to live him Sager strong.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by...
If any business is interested there you in go. Hearing of the resources that are available, 908-541-5790. We'd be happy to come out, visit with them, review all of the resources that are available, and make that an efficient and effective process for them.
And any business, right? Doesn't matter?
Any business.
All right.
And I have just one final thought that as a volunteer ask, we're looking for volunteers, not only for the ExecCom, but we have some subcommittees as well that we need business people and volunteers from the community to be part of to make sure that we're going in the right direction. So you'll be able to access, find that information through our website or by calling that same number, and we'll hook you up. We'd love to have you at one of our monthly meetings.
And the roles there would be what, to get just vision, insight, or is there some detailed work or information they're providing?
Vision and insight is certainly crucial, but there is also some hard work to be done looking at what the numbers are showing us and making sure that they make sense. So helping steer the organization the correct way as well.
Awesome. All right. Pleasure having you all on. Monica Mulligan and John Maddox, Suzanne Legay, and Paul Grisella. Pleasure having you on and learning about One Stop Career Center.
Thank you.
All right. Been my pleasure to be with you as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'll be back again tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Vincent Arlino says, never say I should have. Well, if you're looking for a job or your employer looking for employees, check out the One Stop Career Center. That's a slam dunk for tonight. We'll talk with you again tomorrow. Modern Design's up next. Good morning, Hunter, and HuntChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC, or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News, I'm Ron Taylor.
President Obama says his administration devoted enormous resources trying to rescue American hostage Kayla Mueller. In an interview with BuzzFeed News on Tuesday, Obama said he deployed an entire operation to rescue the young Arizona woman. NBC is suspending nightly news anchor Brian Williams. The network released a memo Tuesday saying Williams is suspended for 6 months without pay. Lester Holt will continue to sub for Williams on NBC Nightly News. The record snowfall burying Boston is going to get deeper. Another foot of snow could fall in the region by the end of the week. The Boston area already received more than 70 inches of snow in the past 30 days. Three Muslim students are dead and a 46-year-old man is charged with murder in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Last time coming 29 years ago against the Boston Red Sox in 1986. The National League champions send 13-game winner Matt Harvey to the mound in Game 1 tonight at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, while the two-time defending American League champs will start veteran 13-game winner Edinson Volquez. It is the first World Series to feature two expansion teams. In Kansas City,
permission to test out drone delivery to customers' homes and in its store parking lots. This is USA Headline News.
The more you learn about your insurance coverage, the more gaps you might find. Like how you thought you were covered for this.
Honey, someone stole my wedding ring!
When you're really only covered for this.
Honey, someone stole my Dakota ring!
Oh well, it was weird anyway.
Or how with renter's insurance, you're covered for
valuables, electronics, bikes, karaoke machines, waffle makers, superhero pajamas.
And without it, you're covered for talk to a farmer's agent about what gaps might be hiding in your insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Tesla is hoping to crack the electric car market in China, the world's largest car market. With more, here's Joe McConnell.
China's offering incentives to companies that produce lower-emission vehicles because pollution is so horrendous. But China doesn't allow foreign car makers to make and sell cars there, so Tesla is looking for a Chinese partner. CEO Elon Musk says making the cars in China for sale in China, instead of in California where most are made now, would make them a lot more affordable for Chinese consumers. He thinks that could happen in 2 or 3 years. I'm Joe McConnell.
Outdoor sporting goods company REI will go dark on Black Friday. The company says its 143 stores will be closed on the biggest shopping day of the year. REI's CEO Jerry Stritzke says the day after Thanksgiving is the perfect time for people to remember that, quote, being outside makes our lives better. He also encourages the company's loyal customers to skip the sales and instead spend the day outdoors. People can even take to social media to talk about their Black Friday plans with the hashtag OptOutside. It's against the law, but age discrimination is widespread in the U.S. job market. That's the finding of a new study out this week. The National Bureau of Economic Research study released yesterday says younger job applicants got called back at much higher rates than older workers. The study found it to be the case across a wide range of jobs, from administrative to sales, security, and janitors. The study says it's even worse for older women. The authors say it's particularly true in sales positions, where they found evidence of much stronger age discrimination for women than for men. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Headline News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HunterChamber.com. I got my guest here. It's Greg DeSanctis, and he is from Raritan Valley Community College. We've been doing this for about 2 years now, loving the enjoyment of learning all about the extra things that are going on at our community college for both Somerset and Hunterdon counties. Greg is the director of the Honors Program over there, and we're going to learn a lot about it. So let's bring Greg in and find out all about it. Good morning, Greg. How are you? I'm doing very well. So we have you here, and we're going to learn about the Honors Program. So we usually start out with the simple stuff. Who are you? How did you get involved with Raritan Valley Community College?
Sure. I've been working at Raritan Valley for over 14 years now in a variety of roles, initially in the financial aid office before I moved into academic advising. I was an advisor for about 5 years, and I was lucky enough to work with the New Jersey STAR students, which is a scholarship program for high-achieving high school graduates, students who graduate in the top 15% of their class and who choose to attend their home county college for free tuition throughout their 2 years. Mm-hmm. After working with this group for several years, the college decided to create an honors college, a separate cohort of students within Raritan Valley. Right. And I was fortunate enough to be asked, since I had been working with these high-achieving students already as a New Jersey STARS advisor, to coordinate the honors program with a faculty partner at Raritan Valley.
Wow.
We've now been doing this for 5 years, and we're in the midst of recruiting for our sixth cohort currently.
Wow. That's the beginning, right? So we're just talking about the honors program and how that got all started. But let's talk about Greg a little bit. How long you've been in Raritan Valley Community College?
I've been at Raritan for 14 years now.
Well,
and in advising and counseling specifically for 8.
Okay, and what was your aspirations prior to getting to Raritan Valley? What did you originally study for?
Well, actually, my story is a bit unique, and it's somewhat coincidental that I work at a community college now, given that it was not a clear career path for me. I went to college as a finance major with hopes of becoming a stockbroker. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out. After a major change into human resources, I eventually got a degree in human resources.
Uh-huh.
That didn't work out after about 6 weeks on the job, so I'm a college graduate with a career that I don't really particularly enjoy. And after pit stops working part-time construction and then eventually working for several years as a librarian, I found my way to Raritan Valley, fortunately, in a job in the financial aid office. So it kind of came full circle. I started out with a career hoping to be in finance, and fast forward about 10 years, and I have a job working in financial aid.
Wow.
And then I was fortunate enough once in financial aid to really find my calling, which was helping students and help them reach their goals and dreams.
Neat. Now, what's really interesting about that is that in my experience, and I've mentioned this on a couple of other shows as well, I've read that the students today are going to experience about 11 different career changes in their lifetime.
Yes.
And now we couple that with the fact that Raritan Valley Community College, the students that are going in there today usually don't have a set career path. They usually don't have it all figured out yet, and they're going there to try a couple of things out. There's more internship-type programs now that are being available at RVCC and other places. So you're kind of a model for that situation. You get that experience.
Absolutely. When I advise students, I try to relate to them. That's the best way to advise somebody, is that you can share a connection to show them that you understand what they're going through.
Right.
And for them, they initially might see my title and assume perhaps I was one of those people who had life figured out from the time I was 10 years old and I had a direct career path and knew exactly what I wanted all along.
Sure.
And once they hear a little bit about my struggles, my trying plan A, plan B, plan C, some ups and downs in my life to eventually get to a career that I'm well suited for, I think it gives them a calmness that allows them to realize they don't have to figure out life at 18.
They don't have to have an answer for everything.
It's an ongoing process.
Well, it's very much like the withdrawal from any other substance.
People recovering from other addiction problems.
Now, is there a
background to the
inducted into the society. I don't know why.
Wow.
I woke up one day. I said, "Why not? Why can't I be the president?" So I am run glad. And I won.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Somebody is actually getting off the chair and making things
happen. Yes, hard. Absolutely.
So you're in the middle of this. You have no idea what this organization
nope.
is about, but you want to leave. You know,
I got to learn later on, but yes, in the beginning I didn't.
There's a political office just waiting for you. Wow. Okay.
Not necessarily. I had to compete against someone to win it. So
that's great. Well, how long you've been president?
3 semesters now.
Wow.
Actually, no, more than that.
So you're, have you, do you, how?
Oh, it's been two.
Oh, two. But three, oh, including the summer.
Yes.
Including the summer. So, when are elections? Are they yearly?
This annual? Semester, yes, we hold it in the spring. Elections are held in the spring.
Okay. So you've been holding office for the, since last year.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, excellent. So we, now how many people are in the organization? How many people are part of Phi Theta Kappa currently that you're leading in?
Huh.
Well, I think there are probably a few hundred members at the school, mm-hmm. but a lot of them just join and then they're not active because a lot of colleges around the country will give scholarships to Phi Theta Kappa members.
Okay.
So it's an opportunity to get scholarship money.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a cash motivation. There's a lucrative motivation
Absolutely.
To be in it. But then it appears that there's something more than that, and hopefully
right.
folks like Angela are learning that on as they go,
mm-hmm.
that there's more to it than
oh,
just.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what is the criteria to get into Phi Theta Kappa?
Well, you need a 3.5 GPA, overall GPA, and 12 college credits. So once you reach that benchmark, we send you an email and with instructions as to how you can apply and join.
So you just don't automatically get in because you
No, not, no. You're invited,
you're invited
to join.
To
it's an honor society.
Nice.
It's a fraternity or sorority.
How long now in the academic world of RVCC, how long does it take to get 12 credits?
Well, basically like a semester of...
Okay, so you have to participate for a full semester and achieve that 3.5
mm-hmm.
with a semester's worth of grades.
Yes.
And if you are on the cusp, just hovering on that 3.5, and you dip into 3.49, what happens?
No, you don't.
No.
You don't.
You're
out of
3.5, exactly.
It's a line in the sand.
All right.
Well, once they join with the 3.5, there is a little bit of wiggle room in terms of their GPA.
Yeah.
And so they do get, if they drop below
3.3,
okay. then we have like a
semester grace period,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you're on double secret probation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secret probation.
I'm making fun of the Animal House. So we have the honor. It's an honor society. You know,
it is.
Stephen and I were talking just off the air. At one point, it was service as well. Is that right?
Yeah. When I first became an advisor, the focus was on service. So throughout the year, we did a tremendous amount of service projects that raised money. The goal was to raise money to help the community. But over time, the focus has changed to more of a scholarly focus where we're doing research mm-hmm. and we're analyzing the research and coming up with conclusions and creating projects based on those conclusions. Mm-hmm. So it's become, like I said, more scholarly, probably a little more difficult to come up with a good, strong project than it was 10 years ago when
yeah.
you just had to maybe, I don't know, throw up a table, sell some cookies, and feel
yeah.
good about yourself.
Okay. So it's kind of intrinsic now instead of extrinsic, right? When it was a service organization, we're working on other organizations
yeah.
or helping others. Now it seems it's working on the betterment of society through understanding
yes.
data and making
research.
Mm-hmm. Now, we still, every year, we still try to get service involved, so we still do try to get community involved, and mm-hmm. then the college community involved as well. So, us as a chapter, we try to continue with the service, even though potentially the national and, like, kind of the organization itself has moved more to the scholarship. So,
yeah.
this year, we collected...
I think 670 articles of clothing for the... Samaritan homeless mm-hmm. something program, and it's in Somerset.
Okay.
Yeah, for veterans.
So there's, so you're still keeping a little bit component of this.
Absolutely. The chapter and the society is built on four pillars, and that's excellence, scholarship, service, and leadership. So we try to get all those things in when we're in office.
Okay. So now you started, Stephen and Sarah, you took on this. Were you both co-chairs at the same time or came on at different times?
We came on at different times, but mm-hmm. we are co-advisors. So co-advisors. We do work together, yeah, on this and all the stuff that has to happen.
So when they came and knocked on your door and said, we'd like you to advise, and I've been there. When I was in the school, in high school and in junior high school, my principal came down and said, you're the new guy. Time for you to do something outside of your curriculum. Did you know much about it before you got involved to this particular program?
I didn't really know anything about it, and mm-hmm. I don't think any. I've talked to advisors from around the country, and when they're new, they literally know nothing about it. They sure. just know it's an honor society. It's a good thing. You're helping the most mm-hmm. motivated students, and then you learn as you go.
Sure. Now, what did you when they knocked on your door and said it's time for you to take this on? What did you learn about it? What was it initially, and what was your decision in trying to organize or reorganize it to take it to where it is today?
Well, to answer part of your question, I think I was asked to help out with one event, and then
it's always how it happens.
Yeah, and then little by little it became more and more, and the co-advisor at the time I grew to really like, mm-hmm. and I saw she really needed the help, so I was happy to help her out. I was a newer faculty member. I didn't have tenure yet.
Sure.
So I knew that this was a high-profile thing that would help me, so there was a little bit of self-serving
right.
there as well, and I enjoyed working with the students. It was meaningful work, mm-hmm. So you get a little and there are competitions. We write up entries based on our projects, and there are competitions. They're called Hallmark Awards. Mm-hmm. And the first year I was an advisor, I was at a convention, and our chapter in Bergen County is Alpha Epsilon Phi, which is very close. And we sat behind them, and they just won every award. And we won nothing. And their president was this tall. I'm imagining him now as like a 7-foot guy in my memory. But every time they won, he would jump up yelling and screaming, yeah! And every time it just
it crossed your mind.
Yeah. So I said, we're going to win some of these awards. So I just became motivated through competition,
wow.
which may or may not be the best reason to get motivated. But we did have a good amount of success after that point,
yeah.
and we still have. So that's how it happened.
Where was that? Bergen
well, I don't remember where the convention was. I do know the college. It was Bergen County Community College. So
yeah.
you're listening for your name at these award ceremonies. So you're listening for Alpha Epsilon Pi.
Well, that's our chapter.
Oh.
But we kept hearing Alpha Epsilon Phi, which is very close.
Oh.
So
wow.
And they weren't modest about winning either, which didn't help.
Sounds like RVCC knew exactly what they were getting you into.
I think so.
You had some intrinsic motivation right there. They put you right in the middle of it, dangled the sword of Damocles above your head, and bingo, we got an evolution taking place. So what did? So you saw that, and what were some of the things that you put in place that you wanted to achieve this award recognition?
Well, the key was to make sure we had projects that stood out, that accomplished the goals we were trying to accomplish. I honestly don't remember what our projects were back in the day. But as Sarah will attest, because she really is the brains behind our homework writing entries
yeah.
now, that it's really about focusing on the writing, because it doesn't matter what you do during the year. It's how you write it up, because you're evaluated by this written application.
Wow. So despite all the effort that goes into it, if you can't present it real well, you're...
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the actual act of communicating what we did really makes an impact in terms of us winning awards. We can have a great project, and then if we do not kind of present it in the way that it is a great project, nobody will know about it, and nobody will kind of appreciate it. So.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to find out all about those projects and how those all evolve. We got Stephen, Sarah, and Angela here, and we're talking about Phi Theta Kappa. Hang on. We'll be right back.
This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Huntington kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Huntington County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Huntington, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Huntington is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Huntington at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Huntington, the voice for mental health in Huntington County.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Huntington, HuntingtonChamber.com. We're talking about Phi Theta Kappa. It's at RVCC. It's National International Organization Honor Society. And Stephen Schwarz and Sarah Bamfield and Angela Bamford are here to talk all about... Got it right, Angela?
Close enough.
Close. What did I do wrong?
Bamford.
Angela Bamford.
Yeah.
All right, I apologize.
That's okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay. The guy at the radio controls has got to know the people's names in the room.
Well,
you're a communication person, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Okay. No, don't belittle me. If I'm doing it wrong, you just get me. I'm
okay,
good.
I will.
All right, Angela Bamford.
Yes.
Okay. So we were talking before the break about the projects. Now it's and how. So somehow now, I find this fascinating because you're a 2-year college.
Yes.
And I've talked with numerous other people that come from RVCC mm-hmm. about this challenge. And this challenge to me, I think, is something that you deal with. I marvel at it because mm-hmm. you have a lot of turnover. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You folks, you're only going to be here. You're pretty much done, right?
Yes.
So the amount of people that you're trying to get into this organization, you only got 2 years to work with them. They only, if they come into RVCC, they don't get to join as a their first semester because they have to have their 3.5 for 12 credits. Mm-hmm. So they don't even get in until the second semester.
Yes.
And then before you know it, they're off and running. Mm-hmm. And so how do you organize all these people and also organize your thought process to come mm-hmm. up with projects that are relevant so that Stephen can compete with Alpha Data, Delta Phi, Psi, and feel like you're actually not on a treadmill, that you're actually moving forward.
Yeah.
So what kind of projects come up? What are the ideas? How do they percolate? And how do you organize them in a manner to utilize the people who are part of your organization to achieve what you want to achieve? How does all that work?
It's not an easy process. It never is. But we, like I said before, the four pillars, we try to put together an event or a project that showcases each pillar. So, for instance, for leadership, we have a comprehensive leadership program called the TD Bank Leadership, sponsored by TD Bank. And we invite prominent CEOs and speakers and leadership mentors to come to school and speak with our members and RVCC students to help them develop their leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the service, we, like said earlier, we try to put together programs that raise money, funds for the community, for the service, and for leadership as well. We put together a comedy show, and we invited three comics. We raised about $600 for the Museum of Tolerance.
Well, talk about the comedians, why they were invited.
Yes, I have to say that too, yes. So the comedians were, we invited non-mainstream, different comedians to come speak.
Mm-hmm.
One was a lesbian, one was transgender, the other was
spina bifida,
yes. To talk about their experiences as comedians and how those experiences affect them and affect their sets, the things that they present on.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to promote the idea of tolerance and diversity. So that's what we did. And then we did something else. I can't remember.
The college project that we do every year, which we did commit to complete this year.
Yes. To promote college completion because a lot of students don't know that when you complete and graduate with your an associate's degree and you transfer to a state school, you're protected, your credits are protected. The schools can't pick and choose what they want. So we try to promote completion. And, so we got a big banner and got our students to sign pledge to complete.
Now, the nice thing about these projects is the national organization sets down a theme every year. And it's a two-year theme, so it helps maintain movement, and it helps, mm-hmm. you know, even though we're a two-year school and we get students moving on pretty quickly, with a two-year theme, we can kind of build, like, a two-year program kind of in a two-year project, potentially, mm-hmm. if we wanted to. And so there is a little bit of foundation and direction from the national, international kind of organization for our projects. So, like, this year we'll have a new theme. This coming year we'll have a new theme.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
This year's was, like, I think Frontiers of
Exploration.
Exploration, yes. And our theme, the theme we went with was the theme of the exploration of new frontiers and how those frontiers help.
Human expression.
Yes.
All right, so let me delve into this. So first of all, is Phi Theta Kappa, is it for just community colleges or for 4 years?
Well? Community colleges.
Yeah, just 2 year school.
Just okay. So their perspective, they already know.
Yes.
For the most part, they're handing 2 year academic institutions this theme, not a 4 year.
Yes.
Okay, so they come up with that.
Yeah.
When do you hear about the theme?
So it's announced at the conventions, and there are multiple conventions that the organization has and mm-hmm. everything. So
probably March or April.
Yeah.
All right. So mm-hmm. you're going to hear Or you've already heard about a new one? Or
no.
We just know there's a new one coming.
Yeah. All right.
We're not concerned so they until leaked the summer. It. Yeah, well, we're not worried about it until we actually start planning for next year. So
oh,
it's one
okay.
of those things where maybe it's out there, but we're not really concerned with it until
so
we need
been,
to be.
It's yeah. been pre-leaked.
Yeah.
Okay. So you learn about it in March. You're not going to worry about it until
that's the summer.
Summer, but... And now somewhere along the line, Angelo, there's going to be an election. Somebody's
yes,
going to take
in
over.
In April.
In April. And then at that particular point, that leadership committee is going to start now working towards how to work with this new theme. About
exactly. That's how it works.
But it sounds like you already, your organization has already started to think about it and started to plan for it. Is
absolutely,
right?
Yes. We try to keep the process going and the train moving. So whatever we can do, the current offices, whatever we can do for the incoming ones, we try to do that.
But
so.
Steven's telling me you guys aren't even thinking about it. You already got it started working
well,
on it.
Well, we are not thinking about the new theme, but then we have to prepare the new officers
okay.
for their jobs because they don't know what they're getting themselves into. I don't know what I got myself
about
into.
You didn't
need,
know it.
Yeah, they need to be prepared
sure.
for the responsibilities of doing the work.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the specifics, but to understand what their general job is,
sure.
the general amount of time it's going to mm-hmm. take. And one thing that we forgot to mention is that in the summer when the new officers are elected, there's an honors institute run by our region.
Yeah.
And that helps train the incoming officers to learn really quickly over 2 days or so how this all works. So it's pretty intensive. It's like a world, you know, in
wow.
and of itself.
Yeah. It was
what
fast.
Are the other officers besides the president? I imagine.
We have the senior vice president. His name is Troy Bright.
The senior vice president.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the VP of membership. Her name is Rebecca Sula. VP of leadership, Paige Owen, and VP of service is Bailey Morrison.
Okay.
Yeah. So five people.
Five people.
And seven, including our advisors.
All right.
We make it work.
And now, what do you guys do when you? When you have these seven people,
mm-hmm.
you have your own little conclave to try and – is that
– Well, we meet. We have meetings, officer meetings.
How often?
And, twice a month.
Twice a month. Okay.
Yes. And that's when we come up with the project and we plan and we map out how we're going to execute each project.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, whenever we get the new officers in the summertime, we meet almost once a week
yeah.
to
oh, yeah.
really set the foundation for the coming year in terms of like our big projects. Like so in the summer, we planned our comedy show.
Yes.
We planned a poster presentation. We planned a faculty panel all dealing with the concept of human expression
mm-hmm.
and the idea of human expression pushing for new thoughts
mm-hmm.
and tolerance and diversity and everything along those lines.
Okay, so when did this comedy show idea show up?
Huh? In the spring? No, not the spring.
The summer.
When we met
last
in the summer
year?
Of last
yes.
year? Yes.
Okay.
We met every week.
So you were elected, and seven of you got together.
Yes.
And it was this
process.
Theme of tolerance,
uh-huh.
and somebody said, "Let's have a comedy show," and then it evolved into having these unique comedians.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
How many people? Now we said there's 100 or so. People that are part of the organization,
the actual, yeah.
but how many people are you actually seeing with boots on the ground doing something?
Wow!
It does change.
It's the 80-20 rule,
and it
right?
It does change per semester, though, too, because some of our students will... You know, would have been here in the fall, and now they've moved on, and they have graduated potentially, and they're going to another school.
Sure.
And so, like, the spring semester, we might see different people. But
yeah.
probably on average, like,
it's
in terms of,
20.
Like 20 or 30 really dedicated
mm-hmm.
volunteering. And then we have a ton of people that will come and attend events.
Yes.
So, like, at the leadership series that Angela mentioned before, or, like, at the comedy show or other events that we might sponsor, we can have anywhere from, like, you know, 50 to 100 people at
yeah.
it.
But those are people maybe part of your organization, maybe not. It's just supporting your
yes.
cause.
Right.
Yes.
So you got somebody that's in charge of, quote-unquote, marketing and stuff like that?
Yes. The senior vice president is, yeah. And this year we really tried to expand our social media outreach. We started a new Facebook page. We are constructing or putting together our website, our chapter website.
Mm-hmm.
We started a new YouTube channel. For
all right.
We had a plan to expand our outreach. Mm-hmm. So this year has been a good year.
So Angela, does when people are invited to be part of this organization, what's the communication, the communique that goes to them and says, hey, you got your 3.5, you get your 12 credits, we'd like to invite you to be part of this. You didn't really know what you were getting into, but yet you still joined. And Stephen was inferring that some people are just kind of getting into it for the scholarship potential.
Yeah.
How much of it is communicating the service, the beyond the scope of academia, that to draw people in and make them part of the organization to achieve these goals, achieve these new...
Well,
ideas.
As an honor society, our main goal, our main focus is on the leadership and helping students grow. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, you join, you get the name on your resume and then you transfer. Some people do that, like he said, but then we have the other students who really want to get involved and do things and change things on campus and in the community. Mm-hmm. So we have a group on an email group. Mm-hmm. That's how we communicate with them. And then we ask for volunteers. They get points for every volunteer hour. And based on those points, there are perks that go along with the points. So that's how we encourage them to stay involved.
Stephen.
The other thing we do, too, is every time that we have an induction, so every time that we accept new students into the organization, we have an orientation process that we go through to try to highlight the things that, you know, they might not be aware of. Most of our students are aware that, hey, scholarship money comes with this, potentially, in joining this. And so that's how we get kind of the foot in the door, so to speak.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then during those orientations, we try to highlight, well, we're not just about money. We're also about development. In a development of soft skills, development in terms of leadership, development in terms of you know, giving back to the community and everything. So
now the two of you have you seen an evolution in the generations that have come through RVCC? Because what I've started to see is going from the middle school up through the high school and now in college, there's a different mindset with this particular generation. Have you seen it change over the time that you've been presiding over this organization? How many students are buying into and being more service oriented?
Well, I've seen our officer team get younger over time. I think what makes things more difficult to answer that question is that there are a lot of when I started as an advisor, there weren't that many organizations at the college. So there's a lot of competition now, a lot of service organizations at the college pulling from our pool of potential candidates for people to help out. So it's difficult to really see an actual change. I think overall, if you're asking if people are more political. I haven't seen that political and open to change. I haven't seen it that much at RVCC, as I've heard there's been a colleges around the country that sort of radical kind of
radical. I actually feel that they're more community minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More service minded. Stuff like this when I was going through school was not even in my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like I said,
much more selfish.
No, I think so. Again, I think that it's difficult to answer because, again, we had probably more people helping in the past, but there weren't as many organizations trying to pull.
Gotcha.
It's a limited pool of people, and now there are more organizations on campus. Yeah. So I think that's what makes answering that question difficult.
Okay. Well,
the other thing, though, too, is we end up with students who are like the best and the brightest. Like they have to have like this really high GPA, so they're already very much achieving students, and so they're really active in terms of wanting to do a lot of stuff. Right. And whether they're doing it with our organization or they're doing it with another organization, most of our students are doing something beyond just...
Yeah, that's a good answer to the question. We already... we're dealing with the best of the best, so we've always had access to that.
Great.
Regardless of...
Super.
Whether they're millennials or not, I suppose.
Well, I like I said, I am fascinated by how it's grassroots. I've seen it through the middle school, even the elementary school, growing up, and how many kids, students, young adults are much more focused on changing the world in a good positive way, not the old 60s rallies and you know, got to get rid of Vietnam type thing. All right, so now you had this idea, and now how does it gel? What do you got these planning meetings going on in the summer, but now you got to really get to make the rubber meet the road, and you only have so much time. So how do you divide up the work? How was that all going on?
Well, we try to put together events, like a consistent number of events each semester. We don't have a quota or a specific number of events that we have to put together. But then, like we said, we have a theme that we follow. We try to follow that theme. So when we start with tolerance and diversity, most of our events were based on that theme.
Sure.
And like I said, we don't really have a specific number.
Are you talking
of,
about individual projects?
Projects.
Well, in this particular case, this comedian project.
Individual.
So I know me as an advisor. Yeah. I try to identify what officers we have and what kind of skill set they have and what things that they're really good at. And then I'm like, okay, this is what we can kind of do. I think we'll be successful at this. You're really good at whatever X, Y, and Z is. And then that's how I think of it in terms of our projects. Like, what do we have in terms of our officer group, and what can they potentially be successful at because of the skills that they have and that they excel at?
Yeah.
And there's certain things that the advisors take on where we say, oh, if we need to deal with an administrator, then perhaps an advisor.
So you guys break the barriers, take down the challenges.
Yeah.
Right. And then we basically, Sarah's really good at dividing up responsibilities so that everybody has a job. And then we all have to check in with each other and make sure that the tasks are following through, and to make sure that that's the thing about being an advisor. After a number of years, you kind of just know you need to check in now. You need to check in now and check on the progress.
But it doesn't sound like it's very cookie cutter. It sounds like Sarah's using the skills of the people to come in, and you have to kind of evolve the team.
Yeah, it definitely.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of problems. Honestly, being an advisor has increased my problem solving skills tremendously.
Good.
Of course, it has.
Tremendously so.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take another quick break. Believe it or not, we are flying through this show, and we'll talk a little bit more about the future of Phi Theta Kappa and where Angela is going to take us next semester. Hang on. Be right back with more Good Morning Hunter in a minute.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you.
Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back. We're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamber.com. And we're talking about Phi Theta Kappa, and Angela was just telling us about her, where she's planning her next soiree. Where are you going to take your, what clubs are you going to be president of?